There is a thought that I have in my heart, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 7, and we want to read one verse tonight, and then we're going to spend a little time, just some thoughts from this verse, and I hope it can encourage us. As Brother Larry mentioned in his prayer, we need all the encouragement and all the support that we can get. We never know what we might face during the week. We never know what trials we might have. We may not understand everything that we go through, but we can have confidence in the Lord. And our title to our message tonight is An Unfailing Savior. So an unfailing Savior. And so we want to read with verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 7. And so the verse goes like this. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for how you've helped us today. We thank you for the encouragement that you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God and how it does bring encouragement, it brings instruction, it brings conviction, it brings everything that every person needs in their life if we just realize that we need to look to it. And so, Father, I pray that you'll bless the request of prayer. Lord, you know that we have so many that are sick and so many that's hurting, so many that's going through trials in their life and difficulties. And so, Father, I pray that you'll visit wherever they may be, lift up and do your will in their lives. And Lord, we pray for this one that was mentioned, the need of this Doug Brown. We pray that you'll help him. And so, Father, we're just grateful today for what you've done for us and what you continue to do. And now, Lord, I ask that you help me. You know my heart. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak through me. And Lord, that we'll grow in you, that we'll find strength in you. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart. And Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An unfailing Savior. No one likes to fail in anything and in any way. But yet, when I talk to people occasionally, they'll make comments like maybe something has happened in their life, or maybe they get some news and they'll say things like, "Well, I've done it again," you know, and they'll say things like, I've messed up again," or "I've made the wrong decision again." And that seems to be more prevalent these days than, at least as people talk to me, it seems to be more prevalent that they wonder what has happened. Almost like they continue to make bad decisions. And that might be true in some cases. A person can come short by decisions they make, or even by their own abilities. Maybe we don't have the abilities maybe that we would like to have. And we know that people make mistakes. We're all guilty of that, making mistakes, making wrong decisions. And then we think of our own selves, but tonight we want to think about Jesus and the fact that he's never failed. He never will fail. And although we may not understand, and I think that's where the lack is, the lack of understanding, that we wonder why did this happen? You know, the things that happen in a person's life. You think, I'm not sure, but now comes our trust. And now comes our faith. And those two work hand in hand, but we can find encouragement tonight as we look at the scriptures in a few verses that we want to share with you, kind of centering or focusing on this one verse, but there's a couple other passages that I may turn to tonight, but it is this. There's been no mistakes made by the Lord, and there's been no shortcomings in the things that he's done. And so there are a few things that I would like to share this evening taken from this verse. And the first thing is the fact his life is one of endless duration. It's an endless duration. We see here in the latter part of this verse where it says, he ever liveth. He ever liveth. Now, there are many reasons that a person can leave this world. It could be through sickness. It can be through accident. It could just be where their body has gotten weak and it just shuts down. And so we understand that death comes. We understand that death will come to all of us unless Christ comes back first and he calls us up early. But we understand that death will come to all of us. And I don't know anyone that when you stop and think about it, that we're necessarily looking forward to it. I'm glad that the Lord knows the time and the place for each one of us. And we even see in the Bible that there's people that have died in the Bible. We understand that there was some Jesus raised from the dead. And they died because of illness or they died sicknesses and things such as that. But Christ said, I have the power to lay down my life and have power to take it up again. You see, we understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We understand that he bled and died. We understand the crown of thorns. We understand the pierced side. We understand all the things that went into the crucifixion. But we also must remember that he allowed it to happen. We must remember that it was by his choice because there had to be a sacrifice made. And when in John chapter 10, verse 18, the Bible says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And he goes on to say, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So although he did die on the cross for our sins, it wasn't because of a sickness or it wasn't because of, how we would die, but it's because he chose to die. And there's a difference. He chose to die on the cross for our sins that we might have life. And so we call his life an endless duration because even now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And so it's an endless duration. There's no need to worry about Jesus. There's no need to worry because he ever liveth. And we can rest assured in that. You know, when you look at other religions and other beliefs that people have, those that they're following died and there's no proof that they're living. There's absolutely no proof that they're living. They can maybe go to the place. They can maybe go to the grave. They can maybe do all those things, but there's no proof. But we have proof tonight that Jesus ever liveth. We have proof tonight, and you're sitting here saved. You have proof tonight that he ever liveth because he's in your hearts. You see, the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, and we have that proof. So we can be encouraged that the one that we follow, the one that we serve, the one that we love is ever liveth. He's ever living in our hearts. And for that, we can be grateful. You see, Jesus makes no mistakes and we can rest assured and we can find comfort tonight by knowing that we can trust him. And there's not a lot of trust in this world today. It seems like that everybody's out for themselves. They're out for their own gain. They're out, they're doing things, and they have these thoughts in their minds that it's almost like you would call it a manipulation thought process, that if I do this, then I'm going to gain this, but not Jesus. You see, Jesus knew exactly what he needed to do, and he did it for you and I, and it was none other but to save us and have us the opportunity to be saved. You see, there wasn't any alternative motives by him dying on the cross for our sins, but it was for us. For that we can be grateful. So we serve one that ever liveth. We can rest assured and we can find comfort in whatever we face through this week, whatever trials we have, whatever tribulations we might have, whatever difficulties we might have. We have help tonight because He ever liveth. We have help tonight because we can look to Him. We can pray no matter where we are, whether we're at home or whether we're riding down the road or whether we're, whatever place we're at, we can pray and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. So He is one with endless duration. His life is one that ever liveth. And we can be grateful for that tonight. The next thing we see in this verse is the fact that His life is one of boundless power. In other words, He has power. The Bible says that He is able to save them. In verse 25, that same verse, He is able to save them. Man's life has been marred, and man's life has been weakened by sin. And we understand that. We know that. We know that sin came from Adam. And we know by the fact that they took of the fruit of the tree and they eat of the fruit, even though they were told not to. We understand that sin generated by that, and how the serpent tried to discredit what God was saying and cause them to question, and they took and their eyes were opened, and we know that. That's found in Genesis. But you see, because of that, man's life is marred. Man's life is marred by sin, by the sin of this world, and we know that there's sin all around us. And how it's been marred and how it's been weakened. Our sins separate us from God. However, what Jesus Christ has provided us, then salvation and deliverance comes from our Savior. You see, He made a way. There's a track that I see occasionally, and I really like it because it's almost like this ledge that people are standing on, and there's a ledge over here that says God, and there's a ledge over here that says man, and how that there's a great gulf in between, and they can't get to God. But yet the next page of this track shows the cross coming over and the cross making a bridge, and how that they can cross over because of the cross. You see, we can't get to God by our own merits. We can't get to God by anything that we do, or it doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter how, what we do in our life. We can understand tonight that there's nothing that we can do to get to God except for Jesus Christ. And the salvation and deliverance comes from Him. So the Bible says He is able also to save them to the uttermost. You see, that's that boundless power. In other words, there's nothing that can block salvation. He is able to save. No one else is able to save. We know that people try to help us, and we know that there's a spirit of help, but they still can't do what Jesus Christ can do. And so we have that boundless power in Jesus Christ. His boundless power can do more if we allow Him in our lives. And as you talk to people and as you look around to people, that's their mistake, is the fact that they won't let Him in their lives. They won't let Him in their lives. I wonder sometimes, and this is just my opinion, I wonder as you talk to people, and you know as well as I do, you have some folks, I'm sure, that you've talked to about the Lord, and they say that they just can't, or they say that they're just not sure yet. And I just wonder sometimes if it isn't the fact that they are afraid that they're going to give up who they are. It's almost like they're afraid to give up something when they don't realize that in receiving Christ, they get everything. They're afraid they're going to give up something in their life and don't realize that in Christ you have everything. And we have much more in Christ than man could ever gain in his own life. When I was away from the Lord, and I went to church with my mother and went with my dad, and we went to a church that they were attending, and I was saved, but I wasn't where I needed to be. And there was a verse that they had got some letters, and I guess I'm assuming they cut them out of maybe a colored construction paper, but it was written in red. And back behind the pulpit, the verse that began to speak to my heart was the verse that says, "For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And even in my life, even though I was saved, that verse, and there were many things that brought me under conviction in my life, but that one, even still today, I think about that verse and how true that verse is. You see, people aren't, they're afraid they're going to have to give up something. It's almost like they're afraid that their life won't be any good anymore. But we know tonight that life is much better with Jesus. We know tonight what we have in Jesus is far more than what you had, but you see, lost don't understand that. They don't understand. It's almost like they're going to have to give up. And yes, they are. They're going to have to give up their own life and give their life to Jesus Christ. But I can rest assured, and I can tell each one of them, just like you can as a testimony, that it was the best decision that they've ever made. You see, it's that boundless power that he has to change lives. People are struggling to believe because it's easier to believe a lie. They're struggling to believe because it's easier to believe a lie, and there are a lot of lies out there. There are a lot of thought process, man's thoughts, and there's a lot of things that people are believing, but yet it's a lie. Anything that talks against Jesus or teaches against Jesus and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lie. It's absolutely a lie. And so Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these things have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me.'" So in other words, Jesus was saying, don't depend on anything that you have. Don't depend on your wealth, your riches. Don't depend on your life. Don't depend on your things. And he says, sell what you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. So he's, in other words, put Jesus first. Put Jesus first in your life. You don't need all these other things to make you happy. You don't need all these things to give you any kind of peace. You don't need any of these things. The Bible says in verse 22, "And he said," and he was sad at that saying, "and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." And that's a picture of where the world is today. They don't want to give up what they have because they're afraid they're going to be missing out. But we that know Christ, we know that you gain far more than what you think you're going to lose. You gain far more than what you think you're going to lose. And what they don't understand and what they don't realize is this. This life will soon pass. And only what's done for Christ will last. Yes, there's riches in this world, and there's gains in this world, and there's things in this world that people are looking for, and that they try to gain pleasure of. But nothing could ever take the place of what Jesus is willing to do in a heart and a life. You see, His life is one of boundless power. He can change a life if people will allow Him in. Jesus is willing to change, and He was willing to change this man's life, but He was depending on those riches to sustain him. But those riches could go real quick. Those riches could go real quick, and they could go overnight. And you understand that. The Bible says that He went away grieved. He went away grieved. Jesus is one with endless power. And then thirdly, tonight, His life is one with ceaseless ministry. He's always ministering. The Bible says that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He intercedes for us. He intercedes, and His intercession is always effective. Have you ever had a time in your life that you just didn't know how to pray? You just didn't know what to say. You were so burdened, or you were so, you had such a heavy heart that you didn't know what to say? Have you ever had a time in your life that you didn't know how to pray because you didn't know what the answer was? We can rest assured, but Jesus knows. And He's making intercession for us. He pleads for us because He understands us. And I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, but He understands us more than we understand ourselves. Many times we think we understand ourselves, and we think we understand our thought processes, and we think we know what we want, and we think we know how to do it, but you can rest assured that He knows far more than we know ourselves. And He makes intercession for us. We are no strangers to Him. We're no strangers to Him. He helps us when we can't help ourselves. You see, He's making that intercession for us. He knows what we need. You will never be alone when it comes to Jesus. You'll never be alone. You'll never be far from God that Jesus can't bring you back into fellowship. There are individuals that feel like that the Lord will never forgive me for this, or He'll never forgive me for that, but I believe He will. I believe that if you confess our sins, just like the Bible says, if we confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I believe that's everything. He's willing to do that. So He makes intercession for us. So it's an endless ministry that Jesus has for us. He's making that intercession because He knows us far better than we know ourselves. And then lastly tonight, His life is one of that quenchless love. Recently I brought a message about that love, and I just want to add to it just a little bit tonight. And I'll just say this. He did everything for us. He did everything for us. When I was growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of money, and I wanted a bicycle. And, raising six children, and even back in the early 70s, that was a lot to ask. And, for a little boy who wanted a bicycle, he didn't have one, and so he wanted a bicycle, and my parents didn't have enough money. So my sister knew someone that she worked with, and she was my oldest sister, knew a lady that she worked with, and she had a bike that she was going to get rid of. And I didn't find this out till later, but they took that bike, and it was a joint effort, and they painted it, and they worked on it, and They even had one of those back in the day. They probably laugh at them now, but it even had one of them horns on it. That's a little rubber things that you blew, and it even had a horn on it, and had these tassels that came down from the handlebars. And so on that Christmas morning, it was under the, well, it wasn't under the tree, it was beside the tree. And so they've got a picture. There's a picture in the Christmas album, that shows how big my eyes were. And I thought that bike was everything. But then as I grew up, I realized just exactly what they did for me to have that. And it meant, you know, that bike finally rusted and it went away. But I'll always remember what they did that I might have it. Just think of how much more Christ does for us. He did it all for us. No amount of failure can quench the love of Christ. There may be times in life that a person does fail. There may be a time in life that maybe love fails when it comes to relationships. But never will the love of Christ fail. It's that quenchless love. And I have heard it said that I'm just ready to go to heaven. People have been so discouraged with their life. And they're so discouraged with what's been going on in their life. And you hear people say, I'm just ready to go. Why does he still leave me here? Well, I believe that if you're still here, you still got a work to do. Because he's not going to take us until he's ready. Sharing the love of Christ is one thing that we can all do. Because his love doesn't stop. His love is real and not based on our circumstances. His love is real. I think of the prodigal son that once he ran out of money, his friendships, so-called friendships, left. The thing that he thought he wanted the most fell short. And he began to eat with the swines and he began to feed the swines because he didn't have anything. The Bible says no man gave unto him. But when he came back to the Father gave him everything. And that's what Jesus will do for us. He ever loves us when, yes, we're unlovable. He ever loves us. You know, I think of just how important his love is. And I think of a candle. You don't see them much anymore, but back in the day, when the power went out, you looked for candles. Now you look for flashlights and lanterns and generators and all those things. But back in the day, when I was growing up and the power went out, everybody looked for a candle. And everything was focused on that candle. And in a dark room, that candle is what lights up the room. And so when you're in a room and you don't have any power, then you catch yourself looking at that candle. When you're around a campfire, you're looking in the fire. So you're drawn to the light. But do you realize that that light will one day go out? Someone could walk by it, that candle, and it would go out. It would get extinguished. The wick would go away, and the candle would wear out, and it would go away. But not the love of Jesus. That is a light that will never be extinguished. That is a light that will never go away. And it's that endless love that we share tonight. So I leave you with this tonight. His love is endless. It will not fail. His love is powerful, or his life is powerful. It will not fail. His ministry will never cease because it will never fail. His love will never end because it will never fail. And I say tonight, what a Savior. What a Savior. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. And I say tonight, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together and how wonderful you are. But yet, Lord, I understand tonight that there might be someone that is having some difficulties, whether they're watching tonight or whether they're here tonight. There's some that may be struggling, that's having a difficult time with their life. They feel like they failed. They feel like that they're useless. They feel like that what's the point of living? So, Father, I pray that you'll speak to those hearts. Lord, you know our hearts. You know that we've all failed. But we're grateful tonight that you've never failed. So help us get close to you tonight. Help us to look to you tonight. And help us to focus on you and not us, but help us to focus on you. And Lord, you'll forgive anything that we do. We understand that. Our shortcomings, our disappointments. And Lord, you'll hold us close. And you'll show us just how endless your love is. So Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts tonight. Maybe there's something said tonight that jogged a memory or jogged just a thought. But help us, Lord, tonight. Meet needs, we pray. And if someone needs to come and pray, I invite them to come. And Lord, we're so grateful for all that was here today, all that we're watching. And Lord, we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?